From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance studio in Lincoln, where our state legislature is now already one-third of the way through, with this year's session hitting day 20 last week. And now that the calendar has turned to February, this is really the time when things will start picking up. So far, nothing too controversial or substantive has really happened yet. But now that senators are beginning to make their priority designations on bills, every senator gets just one bill out of the more than 1,100 that have been introduced to make their priorities. So those are starting to be filed. They'll start taking on some bigger issues. The governor's tax reform bill was just heard in committee this past week. And there's a slate of other big issues coming down the pipe. So if you haven't already, be sure to check out the bill tracker page at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, where you can read about and view the status of some of the most important pieces of legislation that we are monitoring this year on issues that affect family, freedom, and life. But on today's show, we're going to start by talking about what the pro-life movement is really all about and what it looks like, because this past week there was a very discouraging thing that happened, but also something that I'm really encouraged by. And of course, this past week, the United States Senate had a historic vote on the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. This is the bill that would ban abortions after 20 weeks. It had already passed through the House. President Trump said that he would sign it. So this was the last step that literally would have saved thousands and eventually millions of lives. And sadly, the U.S. Senate failed to pass that bill and failed to protect unborn children who can feel pain. This, of course, happened because although the final vote was 51-46, so they had the majority, they needed 60 votes to overcome a Democrat filibuster, some of whom were even seen high-fiving each other at this accomplishment after the vote was over. And again, keep in mind, these are unborn children who science tells us at this point, 20 weeks, can feel pain. So this was really a tremendous opportunity to protect human life. And while we are sorely disappointed, we know for a fact that the culture of life is a movement propelled by love that is growing and changing hearts and minds every day, which leads me to my point about what I was so encouraged by this past week that I know everyone who saw it was incredibly inspired and grateful that President Trump chose to invite as a special guest and share the incredibly moving story of Officer Ryan Holitz, his wife Rebecca, and Crystal Champ. Ryan is a police officer from Albuquerque, and he adopted this baby from Crystal, who found her sitting out on the street behind a store, 8 months pregnant, preparing to shoot up and inject herself with heroin. And Ryan stepped in and told her that she was going to harm her child. And she broke down into tears. And so Officer Holitz told her that he would adopt her baby. And that's exactly what he and his wife Rebecca did. They named the child Hope. And this is how President Trump shared it during his State of the Union address last week.
Ryan Holitz is 27 years old, an officer with the Albuquerque Police Department. He's here tonight with his wife, Rebecca.
Thank you, Ryan.
Last year, Ryan was on duty when he saw a pregnant, homeless woman preparing to inject heroin. When Ryan told her she was going to harm her unborn child, she began to weep. She told him she didn't know where to turn, but badly wanted a safe home for her baby. In that moment, Ryan said he felt God speak to him. You will do it because you can. he heard those words. He took out a picture of his wife and their four kids. Then he went home to tell his wife, Rebecca. In an instant, she agreed to adopt. The Hollettes named their new daughter Hope. Ryan and Rebecca, you embody the goodness of our nation. Thank you.
Such an incredibly powerful story of choosing life and adoption. And to hear that shared during the State of the Union address is incredibly encouraging to me, to because it really it shows a pro-life message that is captivating. It shows that every child should be given the right to life, regardless of the circumstances that you think that child might be born into. They deserve an opportunity. They deserve the right to life. And the president is to be commended for making that a part of his speech and really his whole platform and his administration. Very pro-life, very committed to protecting the innocent and vulnerable. And while I wish more members of the United States Senate would have done that and voted to support the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act and stop abortion in most cases after 20 weeks, we are very grateful that our own Nebraska senators, Deb Fischer and Ben Sasse, both voted pro-life to protect the unborn and pass that bill. And Senator Sasse, who was a co-sponsor of this bill, gave probably one of the most moving and compelling speeches during the vote to his colleagues, urging them to protect unborn babies who can feel pain that I have heard, especially from a United States senator. And I think it's something that really everyone should hear, whether you are pro-life or pro-choice, because it's just sound arguments and a deep understanding of what's at the core of this issue. And so this is just part of the speech that Senator Sasse gave last week in Washington on the floor of the United States Senate.
As we consider this legislation to protect 20-week-old babies who feel pain, I want to ask my friends in this body to put aside whip counts and scorecards, politics and re-election, and let's talk today just simply about beauty and about science. We love beauty. Beauty calls us. Beauty inspires us. Beauty captivates us. It's part of what makes us human. And it's not surprising that there's almost nothing more universal on this earth, almost nothing more beautiful than our natural impulse to care for a little baby. We all start in the same place, vulnerable and dependent in every way. We all ooh and ah over sonogram pictures of our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, even sonogram pictures from a stranger on a bus or a plane. We all ooh and ah in the same way. When we look at those pictures, we love. We love. You don't have to be taught this. You don't have to be conditioned to love. You don't have to be conditioned to know that we should help the vulnerable. This isn't because of economics. This isn't because of politics. We love because they're babies. You don't need anyone to explain this to you. Every one of us have experienced this when you've seen the sonogram pictures. But we should note that this love is not just a feeling. It's also built on and backed up by facts. And as we consider whether these unborn babies, having been carried by their mamas for almost 5 months, as we consider whether they deserve legal protection, whether they deserve our protection, we should think too about the science and what is becoming clearer year by year and month by month. I want to associate myself with the comments of the senator from Montana who preceded me. Part of why the millennials are becoming more pro-life than the two generations older than they are is because they're seeing these sonogram images and it's changing them year by year and month by month. I've been on the floor for about 45 minutes today, and I've heard a whole bunch of claims about polling and facts on the floor today that just aren't true. I'm not here to argue this case and argue how we should vote on this legislation because of polls. I'm here because we should all love babies. That's why we should be doing this. But just at the level of polling, there have been claims on the floor today that are just absolutely not true. Younger people are becoming more pro-life, as the gentleman from Montana said, year over year right now, and it's because of the prevalence and the pervasiveness of sonogram technology. And this movement, the pro-life movement, is ascendant, and it's because people are grappling with science, and they're grappling with images, and they're grappling with the reality of that intrinsic feeling we have to love. We can and we should appeal to ethics. We can and we should discuss human dignity. We should reaffirm intrinsic value. But for now, for this conversation today, we could limit ourselves just to scientific facts. And as we consider those facts, I want to respectfully ask my colleagues in this chamber today, where will we draw the line? No one seriously disputes that that little girl in that image is alive. No one seriously disputes that that little girl is a human being. No one. There's no one in this chamber, and there's no one outside this chamber who's ever looked at that sonogram image that's going to come to this floor and say, you know the debate I want to have? I want to say that that baby is not alive, and she's not a human. Somebody should come to the floor and make that case who's going to vote no on the legislation today. Say that that's not a life, and that that's not a human, because it's not true, and no one believes it.
Powerful, strong remarks from Senator Sass. And I think he absolutely just hits the nail on the head with this issue over and over again. And that was actually only just part of his speech. You can view it in its entirety at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. He goes on to talk about how the science is clear, which it is, that the unborn have their own DNA separate from the mother and the father, their own blood type. They're growing, they're developing, they can feel pain, and everyone knows that they're babies, and you don't have to be taught that. You don't have to be taught to love them. That's intrinsic in who we are as human beings, and that's what the pro-life movement is founded on, love and compassion for both mothers and their babies. And those who feel this way in Nebraska have an incredibly important opportunity this year to help achieve one of the most significant pro-life victories in years by finally eliminating the taxpayer subsidization of abortion clinics in Nebraska. This has been an issue for years, and currently your tax dollars are going to abortion clinics in Nebraska. And we'll hear it time and time again. Federal law prohibits taxpayer money from being used for abortion. We hear it all the time. We'll hear it over this issue, and that is true. But there is no accountability in this Title X program, which is federal dollars distributed to states to distribute to health clinics. For example, currently in Nebraska, the number one recipient of that Title X money, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland. Title X grants are subsidizing abortion in Nebraska. And we have an opportunity to change that this year thanks to an important pro-life initiative in the governor's budget proposal, which includes a provision that would change the way the state of Nebraska can distribute this money by simply stating, which is in line with federal law, that none of this money is to go to clinics where they perform, assist with, or counsel in favor of abortions. And that is supposed to be the intent of the Title X program, but it's not being carried out that way. So basically what we know is Title X is, again, a federal grant program with the purpose of helping fund preventative health and family planning services such as contraception, annual well woman exams, STD testing and treatment, vaccinations. And this is money that is handed down to states from the federal government. It started in 1970 by President Nixon. And again, when Congress first initiated this, their expressed will was this money not go to clinics where abortion was used as a method of family planning. But we know that is not happening. So during the most recent fiscal year, Congress appropriated $327 million through the Title X program. And of that money, Nebraska, our Department of Health and Human Services, received approximately $1.5 million. And again, the leading recipient of those funds to a tune of $300,000 a year is Planned Parenthood. And obviously, for a lot of people, this is clearly a problem. So Governor Ricketts has taken it upon himself and his administration to make this a part of their budget proposal for 2018, which is now formally a bill that will be debated by our state legislature this year. And it contains a provision to prohibit those funds from being distributed to an organization that engages in the abortion industry. And the great thing is, this doesn't change at all the amount of money that will go to actual preventative services and healthcare in Nebraska. And this just ensures there is that accountability that it's not being used to subsidize abortion, because we all know that money is fungible. So whether or not they use that money specifically for an abortion, it obviously is freeing up hundreds of thousands of other dollars that they don't have to spend elsewhere now because of this money that they can use for abortion. They can use it to pay their rent and mortgage and keep their doors open, and for the receptionist to schedule appointments for abortions. And so it's clearly problematic. It's clearly helping subsidize the abortion industry. And that is not a value that I think the majority of Nebraskans hold, that taxpayer money should go towards supporting and subsidizing the abortion industry. And still, those clinics who do abortion still have options. They can physically, legally, and financially separate their abortion-related activities from its Title X services, and that way they can keep receiving those Title X funds. Or they can completely stop performing abortion-related activities and continue to perform Title X services and continue to receive those funds. And it's really important that this is accomplished, because currently they're just, bottom line, there is no way to ensure that taxpayer funds aren't actually being used to aid in abortion activity. And what we really want everyone to know, because this is going to be a huge issue when it reaches the floor of the legislature for full debate, we are going to hear all sorts of hypotheticals and end of the world scenarios from the other side and abortion proponents, that this is going to eliminate healthcare and people are going to be without services, and this is going to affect other clinics that don't do abortion. And that is simply false. Clinics and health centers not engaging in the abortion industry will remain fully eligible for Title X funds. The exact same amount of money for those services will be made available to clinics in Nebraska, and it will not restrict access to healthcare services. This is sound, sensible policy, and the governor has said it repeatedly. Nebraska is a pro-life state, and our budget should reflect those values. I think he is absolutely right. But it is not going to come easy. This was attempted in a little bit different way last year, and it passed through the first round of debate. It was on second round. You have to go through three rounds to pass it. And on the second round of voting, a senator flipped, and it lost by one vote. That's how important it is for people to be aware of what's going on, and to let their local state senator know where they're at on these issues, because some of these really big and important issues that people are passionate about really do oftentimes just come down to one or two votes. So at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, we have a page on Title X where you can get all of this information and be sure you're apprised of the issue and share it with your family and friends so they know what this issue is really about. And it's important because you're going to hear about it this week. The committee hearing on this Title X provision in the state budget will be heard on Monday. It's going to be a packed room. Lots of people arguing on both sides, and we want to make sure that our side, the side for life that supports both women and babies, is well represented. Nebraska Family Alliance will be there on site providing testimony in support of this provision and eliminating taxpayer funding of abortion. We will provide an update on this next week and moving forward, everything you need to know. And you, again, can find all this information at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. And when you're there, you will also see a fantastic new educational video. It's short, just 5 minutes. It's got really impressive animation and graphics, and it's all about religious freedom and where we draw the line. And I hope people will go and watch it. It's also on the Nebraska Family Alliance Facebook page, because a common argument against religious freedom protections is that if basically, if we extend protections to some religious actions, so if you say you do something in the name of religion, if we say that that's okay, then, you know, that will just open up the floodgates and people will be able to do anything in the name of religion. And the video breaks down sort of the primary questions and assumptions and arguments like that, and how we can know that we can protect some actions, the appropriate actions that are religious, without protecting any action done in the name of religion. And it's a very informative, engaging video, and it's clear that we're going to be continuing to have this debate over what religious freedom means and how we know where we can draw the line on this issue. But ultimately, whether or not we protect someone's right to act on their beliefs shouldn't be coming down to whether you or I or 51% of voters agree with those beliefs. It is possible to balance the rights of people who have sincerely held beliefs with the interests of the government, which are oftentimes our own interests of health and safety, education, and the common good. But it should also always be our goal to protect the free exercise of religion to the greatest extent possible, because in America, people absolutely should be free to live and work according to their beliefs. That is one of the key principles on which our country was founded. If you would like to join and become part of the national movement to restore the foundation of our country, the family, please visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, where you can learn more about our organization and join our e-network so you can help our mission in advancing family, freedom, and life here in Nebraska. Our vision is to create a state where marriages and families thrive, life is cherished and protected, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated. These are our key values, and Nebraska Family Alliance is proud to be the longest-standing pro-family organization in the state, and your voice for pro-life, pro-family, and religious freedom values at the state capitol, because we believe that policies endorse and enforce a belief system. And you know, whether we like it or not, those policies that are passed by our lawmakers at the state capitol, they are affecting the lives of real people, our homes, our communities, our schools, our businesses, our churches. And in Nebraska, the people are the second house. We have all kinds of resources and different ways to get involved on the issues and to help make a difference. And you can find all of it at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We all know that there is no shortage of issues and challenges that we are facing in our state and our nation. But when people come together and stand up and speak out for what they believe in and stand firm, it makes a huge difference. We've seen it time and time again. We're already seeing it this year in our work with the legislature, and we hope that that will just continue to grow so we can continue to be a state that does truly honor family, freedom, and life. Don't forget, you can subscribe to Capital Connection for free so you never miss an episode by simply searching for Capital Connection in the podcast app on your phone. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, and I'll be back next week with more updates on all the latest happenings from the Nebraska Capitol and more. Hope you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.